Today's scripture before the lesson today is from John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. Sorry about that. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
I'd like to thank Alan for installing this more powerful microphone so I don't have to wear that headset anymore. The theme of this year's Tahoe family encampment was standing on the promises. I suggest that you visit the website of Tahoe family encampment, listen to YouTube, some of the keynote addresses that was presented by some of the best preachers within the Brotherhood. And I assure you, you will be edified and encouraged. I typed in the promises of God in Google and came up with 3,573. So if I preach a series on the promises of God, and I preach once a month or 12 times a year, it comes up to be about 300 years. Others have counted over 7,000 promises. For instance, in his book, All the Promises of the Bible, Herbert Lockyer reports 7,487 promises to man in 31,173 verses of the entire Bible. So we might say that the Bible is a general treasury of divine promises. What is a promise? A promise is a pledge. The Apostle Paul demonstrates in Romans 4, verses 13 to 16, and Galatians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, that God's promise has the quality of a covenant. Well, what is a covenant? Covenant is an agreement. So God's promise carry with it a condition. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, we have this reading. "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Think of that. God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. Today, we're going to spend a few minutes looking at the promise of an abundant life. In John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, Jesus used two metaphors to describe himself. In verses 1 to 6, he described himself as the shepherd of the flock. And in our scripture reading, verses 7 to 10, Jesus described himself as the gate or the door of the sheep. So let's review that reading. Jesus said that he is the gate by which the sheep enter into salvation and go out to pasture. Jesus said that thieves and bandits enter by another way. And those thieves are the ones who all came before me, verse 8. And what does the thief do? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In contrast, Jesus said, I came that they, the sheep, may have life and have it abundantly. Unlike the thief, Jesus is focused on the welfare of the sheep. Coming or going, Jesus' sheep are safe and well fed. They have life and have it abundantly. Well, what does that mean? What does more abundantly mean? Well, the word abound has to do with the kind of abundance that goes beyond one's need. It brings to mind the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verse 8, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The context and meaning are different, but the effusive language is the same. I never forgot what my dad told me when it came to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I think I was probably 13 or 14 years old. Around our dinner table, and our nightly devotional, he said, if you give God a spoonful of your service, he will give you back a shovel full of blessings. So that stuck in my mind and really never forgot it. As we bring our lives into compliance with God's will, he blesses us with abundant life. That does not necessarily mean, you know, that we have lavish homes, fancy cars, 10-digit stock portfolios, although it could mean that. It means abundance suits us more to do with our hearts, not with our hands. We often think of the Christian life as a life full of sacrifice and self-discipline, self-denial. These are, of course, important as they play critical part in our discipleship. However, we don't need to spend our whole life enduring and sacrificing. The life of a Christian is an abundant life. So let's look at what does that mean. What does this abundant life consist of? First of all, we have an abundant life in Christ because God has given us abundant mercy. God tells us that he has abundant mercy toward us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have hope because of God's abundant mercy. The basis of our hope is not our own righteousness, our own perfection, but in the abundance of God's mercy. God has not given to us what we deserve. In a very simple sense, this is the mercy of God, not giving us what we deserve to receive our actions. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we read that all of us were dead in our sins. We deserve to remain in that condition, dead in our sins, separated from God. But God has demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Secondly, we have an abundant life in Christ because God has given us abundant grace. How do you look at grace? I heard one time, I think it was Brother Keith Parker, who said, grace is God's redeeming act at Christ's expense. That's kind of a pretty good definition of grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through that one, Jesus Christ. The abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness are only available through Christ. It is part of Christ's promise of an abundant life. Let's recall the words of the hymns, deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea is the grace of the Savior for sinners like me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater than all my sin and shame, O magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. Praise his name for that abundant grace. Thirdly, we have an abundant life in Christ because God has given us abundant peace. the Israelites were under captivity, and God promised them restoration and abundant peace and security. We read about that in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 6. Behold, I'll bring to it health and healing, and I will heal them, and I'll reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth. We were once under the bondage of sin, but when we accepted Jesus, we received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to be active in your life, you will have peace. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And in that famous verse, Philippians chapter 4, 6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, in all the turmoil, in the midst of all the turmoil created by the recent mass shootings, we find comfort in the fact that we can have peace, we can have the peace of God in our lives. Number four, we have an abundant life in Christ because God has given us abundant joy in life. In addition to peace, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8-9. We have this reading. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. It is a command to have joy and to rejoice. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. In the pits of his own despair as he suffered in prison, Paul said always to rejoice. We always have an inexpressible joy that exists in our hearts as Christians. It is the result of that abundant life we have in Christ. Number five, we have an abundant life in Christ because of God's abundant goodness. This is another element why we have an abundant life in Christ. It's our ability to avail ourselves of God's goodness. The psalmist wrote, Psalms chapter 31, verse 19. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and work for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. God's goodness is available for those who fear him take refuge in him. And because of God's abundant goodness, we have everything that we need. Psalmist also declared, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Psalm 33, verse 5. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We should daily appreciate God's working in our lives. It's not because of luck or fortune or destiny that we have been given these things that we need. It's because of God's goodness. All things created are for our benefit and come from God's goodness. Number six. This time you may be asking, how many of this are there? Number six. One of the greatest attributes of God is his abundant power. As a result of the power, we can have a faith that cannot be broken. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. It is when we understand that God is great that we can begin to know that nothing is impossible with him. When we face difficult life situations, we simply would let God, and we can expect results that are best for us. The very idea is expressed by Paul in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us. Imagine that. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask for and even beyond what we can imagine. God can do far beyond what we can ask or think. We can just set everything on God's throne and let him work his power. The results are far better than we can even imagine. This is the greatness of God's power, and this is what makes the Christian life an abundant life. Finally, we have an abundant life in Christ because God has given us an abundance entrance into heaven. An abundant entrance into heaven. One of the greatest joys we have as Christians is what? It's the hope of eternal life. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, in that list of Christ-like characteristics as we grow towards maturity, Peter has given us this advantage if we are to grow. Peter said, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling or your call and election sure. For if you do these things referring to adding to your faith, virtue, and so on and so forth, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. An entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord has been abundantly supplied to us. Every opportunity has been provided by the Lord so that we can have an advantage of entering into his kingdom. This statement by Peter really sums up all that God has done for us and considers the points we have made in this lesson. By God's mercy and grace, God sent his Son into the world to become a sacrifice for our sins. God continues to show his loving kindness and goodness toward us by providing everything we need for life and godliness. In fact, the power of God is available to us and is working providentially in our lives. These are the things God has done for us abundantly so that we can have an entrance into that eternal kingdom. Let me conclude with this. There are 2.3 million marriages in the United States each year. Everyone will make a promise that they will love each other until death. Yet, 50% of these marriages will end in divorce. What happens when people make promises? There is a possibility that they will be broken. But when God makes a promise, we are sure that it will be fulfilled. Why? Because God is unchangeable. God is faithful. God does not lie. So when God made the promise of an abundant life in Christ, we will surely have an abundant life. There's no doubt about it. We will experience abundant mercy, abundant grace, peace, joy. His abundant goodness and power will help us have an abundant life. He has provided an abundant entrance into heaven. So we have many things to be thankful for in regards to our spiritual blessings. There is really nothing lacking in our lives because God supplies every need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. Every need can be met by the Lord. This includes our emotional needs, our spiritual needs, our personal needs. Everything that we need will be satisfied by God. The only reason we have anything lacking in our lives is because we have not allowed God to fill that void. Too often, we're trying to fill these voids ourselves, and are coming up empty. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The abundant life, once again, has nothing to do with lavish homes and fancy cars, marvelous boats, land, stock portfolio. The abundant life is only found in Jesus. It cannot be found in the world or doing it your way. The abundant life comes by following Jesus. So don't think of the Christian life as boring, full of self-denials, sacrifices. That is not why Jesus came. He came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So, live an abundant life. Let's stand and sing the song of encouragement at this time. Hymn number 420, and if you are still not within the fold, have not entered the gate, you are lacking this abundant life. So let's stand saying, love for all, and we ask that you come if you have any need.